We're going to continue our series entitled Key Teachings of Jesus, and now we're doing part two. And today I'm going to be talking about the doctrine of tithing. It's called the doctrine of tithing. How many know that there's various doctrines in the scripture, and Jesus taught and recorded certain doctrines for us to follow and to live by? Because by following these doctrines, the doctrine of prayer, the doctrine of evangelism, which we're about to do this evening, the doctrine of love, all through these doctrines, I mean, he carefully outlined them so that by obedience to these doctrines, we would be prosperous. We would live the good life. We would experience the greatness of God. You know, I am so convinced, having grown up in the church, that people who end up in real catastrophes and just on very unusual circumstances for believers is because of the fact that they failed to obey God. And then they're looking for a prayer. You know, they disobey God, but they're looking for one prayer to undo it all. It don't work that way. You can't disobey God and then want a prayer to undo it all. And so it's important that today, as we're going to teach on this particular subject, that you understand and listen and you know, and repent. Because when God says men ought always to pray and not to faint, if you're not a person who has a prayer life, then you know what you've done, right? You've sinned against God. Not doing it is not, well, I just decided not to do it. No. When we disobey God, it's called sin. It's called transgression. It's called going against the will of God. And so it becomes important. One of the things we know about God in Psalm 66 and verse 18, this is what God says about our sins. There's another scripture in the New Testament that says, he that knoweth to do good, but doesn't do it, to him it is sin. So when you know something that God says to do and you don't do it, then you're practicing sin. And here's the problem with that. The Bible says that's why there are many people, you know, who are going on, but they don't realize that their prayers have been hindered. God doesn't even listen to what they're saying. Psalm 66, 18 says this: if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What does it say? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we have a bunch of Christians, you know, who are walking around and they're wondering why things are collapsing, things are reversing and not going right. It's because of the fact that they don't realize that they've cut off their communication with God because they're living with a sin. What does the Bible says when we sin? In 1 John 1, 9 says, if you sin, I don't care if you're on the subway, I don't care if you are, you know, at a restaurant. The Bible says the moment you sin, you confess that sin to God. Get rid of it. Because you can't afford to live without the presence of God. You can't afford to live without communication with God. You might be able to live without communication with the president. You might be able to live without communication with a mother or father. But you cannot live without communication with God. Because God is the creator of the universe. God is in charge of all things. I don't know about you, but I want to stay connected to the person who's in charge. The person who knows the beginning from the end. And so, here in the scripture, we see that God created tithing. God instituted tithing. You know, not man, not the devil, you know, not religion, but God instituted it. And he instituted it for a purpose, just like he did prayer and just like he did love. It's because he intended for us to be blessed in a special way by doing this particular thing. God wants so that we could experience having the good life here on this earth. The psalmist says, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Where? You see, it's in the land of the living that God wants you to be blessed. And so God clearly, because of tithing, you can see the heart of God. God clearly intended to see that all your needs are met. Not some of your needs are met, but all your needs are met. I want you to look at somebody who says, all. What does all mean? It means all, right? And God clearly intended to give you the desires of your heart. But there are many believers who are living behind the eight ball because, you know what? Because they simply don't realize that there is a sin that is in the core of their guts. And they're trying to live and enjoy whatever God has, but it's not happening. God wants you to have the best jobs, the best paying jobs, the jobs with the most satisfaction. You know, you ought to be happy when you go to the job that you go to if God gave it to you. You see, God wants you to have that. This is all part of the plan of God. It's not just to get a job, and then when you go every morning, you're getting up, and you're miserable, and you're upset, and by the time you get there, you have two Tylenols you got to take because of the fact that you just don't want to be there. No, I want you to know, the Bible says, Jesus says in John 10, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I want you to know that when you're a tither, you see, people don't realize everyone is not going to own a business. Everyone is not going to be a CEO, but everyone who's a tither can be wealthy in the kingdom of God. Because wealth has nothing to do with the job that you work at. See, when God blesses you, he blesses you beyond your job. He blesses you beyond your culture, beyond your race, beyond the color of your skin. God doesn't need the color of your skin to determine how he's going to bless you. God doesn't need to know, you know, what family you came from. I want you to know that anything that God blesses, I don't care what kind of hair you have, what kind of color of skin you have, you know, where you come from, what your background. When God blesses you, nobody can curse you. That's the reason why you should care less what people think about you, about your color of the skin and whatever you are. Listen, the most important thought that I need is God's thoughts towards me. The Bible says, David says, your thoughts towards me are thoughts of peace. God doesn't think evil of you. He thinks good about you. And so it's important. So I want you to know that the Bible also says that God wants your business. If you have a business, God wants you to be successful. See, what God wants you to do is to be prosperous. God does want you to be the first and not the last. God does want you to be above and not beneath. God does want you to be the head and not the tail. And just because you don't own the company doesn't mean that you don't have to be the head. Here is how God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be blessed to the point that if they decide they want to let you go, it won't matter because you have barns that are filled with plenty. You can walk away and say, keep your job. I'm trying to tell you that if you look at the scriptures as to how God works, there were widow women in the Bible who technically had no rights. They had no authority. They were considered scum of the earth. But you know what? When the famine was going on, guess who was dying? All the dignitaries were dying. But that little widow woman lasted over 3 years with one blessing from God. Why? Because when God blesses you, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, because God is not governed by this economy. So if this economy is in a downturn, I want you to know God is never in a downturn. Heaven is always full of plenty. Heaven always has more than enough. And so as a believer in Christ, I can stand up and know that, you know, even though tomorrow they're declaring that the economy is going to go even further south, I'm going to be just fine because I'm a child of the living God. And when God blesses me, no economy can hurt me because I belong to the King of Kings and I belong to the Lord of Lords. I want you to see a scripture here in Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to have the best that he has to offer. That's why in Isaiah 48, 17, here's a scripture. It says, in fact, let's read it together. It says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Look at all the little titles of God. I am the Lord, your God. I am the Lord, your God, which teach you to profit. By the way, this word profit means exactly what it means. It's like the bottom line when you do a business. God wants your bottom line to always be surplus. God wants your bottom line to always be supernatural increase. God wants the bottom line to always be barns that are filled with plenty. God wants your bottom line to always be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's the will of God. Why? Like, you know, in our church here, as I look at our church and I study some of the finances, I see the people who are, you know, they constantly, God has taken them from one position of wealth to the next position of wealth. And others, they continue to stay where they are and some even fall back some. Now, is that because God is partial? No. God honors those who honor him. If you honor him, he will honor you. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? It's just that simple. If you honor him, he will honor you. Now, say that with me. Say, if I honor him, say, he will honor me. And so God wants to teach you to profit. The Greek word there for teach is laman. And the word laman there means to train and to instruct and to guide. Do you know that if you're sitting here and you're a tither and you're looking to do a business or you're looking to do something, if you are a faith, by the way, God does not bless unfaithful tithers. If you tithe 1 week and don't tithe the next, and you know, and you play with God, you might as well don't tithe at all because you're wasting time. God is only a rewarder of them that do things diligently. But the point I'm making, but if you're about to do something, you're about to go on a venture, you know, you're about, you know, you want to get a house or you want to get a business, whatever it is, I want you to know that God says, I am the Lord who instructs you and trains you how to be wealthy. God has the ability. God has the information. God has the favor. God has the contact. God has the person. The Bible says God will cause men to pour into your bosoms. So God has people in place already, and God has circumstances already where worked out where you can be so blessed that when people look at you, they're going to want to know what God you serve. That's the reason why God blessed Israel, so that when the rest of the world will look upon, they said, whatever God it is that you're serving, we want to serve that God. You need to look like you're blessed. You need to look like God has been with you. You need to look like God is all over your life and all over your business. You see, that's the reason why the Bible says that when parents tithe, even their children are blessed to the second and the third and the fourth generation. And so God wants to give you ideas. He wants to help you. By the way, and all you have to do, there are a couple of things. You have to tithe, but you also have to pray. You know, it's like you can't take one away from the other. They're all part of it, because they that wait upon the Lord shall get renewed strength. And so it's important. But let's talk about the tithe a little bit more. What is a tithe? Ask the question. What is a tithe? Ask your neighbor, what is a tithe? Well, first of all, the word tithe means 10%. It means a tenth. So whatever 10% you earn is God's property. It does not belong to you. It's not yours. So let's look at Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. God already made this claim in the scriptures. It says here, let's read it, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And so the tithe is not something that you play with. The tithe is not something that you decide what you're going to do. The tithe already belongs to God. So whether you give it or not, it's still the tithe that belongs to God. So it's important for us to understand that God calls the taking the tithe and using it for any other purpose than giving it to his kingdom, his church, his house. He calls it a serious crime. That's why the reason why we see certain things in the lives of people, and sometimes you don't understand what's going on, is because of the fact that he calls people who take the tithe, he calls them thieves and he calls them robbers. This is not something to play with and to go through the motions with. God God expresses his anger in the book of Malachi. Go to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. We see where God expresses his anger to the tithe stealers. And he says this in Malachi, chapter 3, verses 9 and to 10. He says, will a man rob God? The question is being asked, will a man rob God? And God says, what? Yeah, you have robbed me. And they say, well, how have we robbed you? Because, you know, you think of robbing somebody like, you know, stick them up, you know, and you take whatever they have from them and they walk away. You follow me? Somebody said, how do you stick up God? You can't go to heaven and say, stick them up, right? And so they were saying, well, how have we robbed you? And God says, here is how you have robbed me. You have robbed me in tithes and offerings. And then he goes on to say, because you've done this, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You see, tithing is a sin. God says you cannot take my tithe and expect to be blessed. It is a high crime. And so, and I want you to know that in heaven's bulletin board, some believers are wanted on heaven's bulletin board. There's a mugshot of them. I mean, you walk around heaven and there it is. Yeah, that's her. And you're laughing, but God says, you robbed me. It's a crime. Now, and so it's important. The 10% that's the reason why when you get paid, it's important that you understand the process. But first of all, a tithe is not just a 10%. It's just not any tenth that you give to God. The tithe is the first tenth. Let me see if I can get that right. The tithe is not just any tenth. You know, like you come to church and say, "Oh, I got a little left. Here, God, take that." That's not a tithe. Understand, it's not a tithe. The tithe is the first tenth. The word first means the top, the best, the first cut. Let me say that again. The word first means the best, the top, the first cut. What does it mean? The best, the top, the first cut. So the moment you get paid, giving you how this works. You see, back in the agricultural society or back in the Bible, do you know that the people of Israel, the harvest would come and they would gather the 10% or the best that was there, and they would not touch the 90% until they had delivered it to the house of God. Come on now. That's how serious it was. They wouldn't, because I'm about to teach you something about how the 90% works. And so the moment you get paid, what you do in your mind is you set aside what belongs to God. And you don't see it as you don't see the 100%. What you see is 90%. You said that 90% belongs to me. And so, you know, for bulls, you know, for whatever you want to work, for entertainment, for food, etc., whatever it is that you need, that's what it's for. In Scripture, whatever first you give to God determines how the rest of what you have is going to be treated by God. Let me say that again. Whatever first you give to God determines how the rest is going to be treated by God. So in other words, the 90% that you have, it's depending on what you do with the tithe, is how the 90% is going to work out. Okay, so when you present a first to God, it becomes the foundation for how God is going to bless the rest of your money, or how the rest of your money is going to be cursed. And we'll follow that. See, with tithes, God blesses the 90%. When you give the 10%, the 90% is blessed. He increases the 90%. He rebukes the devil who tries to mess with the 90%. He opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing on the 90%. He turns things around on the 90%. And that's why those of you who are tithers, you realize that sometimes your money goes a whole lot farther than it literally is supposed to. Only tithers can testify to that. You see, because I want you to know that God is not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie. If he says it, he's going to do it. And I want you to realize that this is how God treats the 90%. Look at Malachi chapter 3. Look at verses 10 to 11. Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 to 11. It says this. In fact, let's read it together. You ready? Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. How much of the tithe must you bring? By the way, if you're giving God 5%, it's not a tithe. You know, you can't change 10% to being 5%. Okay, let me put it this way. What if your boss says, "You know what? I'm not going to give you 100%. I just feel like giving you 60%. What are you going to say? "That's okay, that's okay. Thank you, thank you." No, you're going to get mad. Because you're saying, how can you treat 60% like 100%? What did you work for? 60%? You work for 100%, and what do you want? You want 100%. You see? But it's amazing how when it comes to God, though, we want the whole thing. All right, let's go. Bring the tithe where? Into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, right? And prove me now, this day, says the Lord, that what? If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out such blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. And then it goes on to verse 11 and says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, what God is saying here, even though the enemy is going to come at you, if you're a tither, you have devourer insurance. He's not able to devour what you are doing. Oh, he can come and try to touch it. He can come and try to mess with it. But at the end of the day, God is going to stop the enemy, and your tithes and whatever it is you're doing for God, God is going to preserve it. God is going to preserve your house. God is going to preserve your car. God is going to preserve everything that has to do with you because you have honored him. You see, and it's important to understand that God is not going to lie to you. And so I want you to know that the Bible says if the enemy comes to mess with you and to mess with your children, you see, because let me say something to you. One of the things that is going to happen, whether you tithe or not, is a trouble is going to come into your life. The devil is going to come and bring some kind of trouble because that's what he is. He's a troublemaker. The Bible says he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. You see, and so, but here is the difference. Let's say these are the non-tithers on this side. And these are the tithers on this side, right? So when the devil comes to mess with these people, see, she's preaching along with me. You see there? In other words, there is no covering because the Bible says they have robbed me, even this whole nation, and as a result, when God messes with their children and God messes with their health and God messes with things, they have to fight like a person in the world. Why should I have to do that? But these people here, when the devil come and mess with these people, the Bible says they don't have to fight the battle. God says, I'm going to come and rebuke the devourer for their sake. There is a difference. And it doesn't mean these folks are not Christians. It just means that these are Christians without the covering of God. Oh, no, listen, you know, the worst time to discover that you don't have insurance is when you need it. Now, let me give you the flip side, the non-tither side. Actually, there is no upside to non-tithing. In Haggai, some of you don't even know where that book is, but it's in the Old Testament towards the end, Zephaniah, Haggai 1:6. Before we read it, the context of this is that they were doing what some people do today. They were not giving what belonged to the temple. They were not giving their 10%. They were not giving their first fruits. They were not giving from their increase to the temple. And I want you to know that if you think God takes it sitting down when you don't bless the kingdom, I got news for you. See, that's why, scripture says things like this sometimes. It says that people who don't take communion or who neglect communion, the Bible says that some of them are sickly and some even they die before their time. Just to show you that God takes his word seriously. You can take it like a joke all you want to, but it's a serious thing. And so these people decided that, you know what, they were not going to do what God told them to do. Anyway, and this is what God said to them. Because you have chosen not to do what I told you to do and not to give what belongs to God, or give me what belongs to me. He said this, verse 6, it says, you have sown much and bring in little. In other words, you work 2 jobs, 3 jobs, 4 jobs. And even though you work that many jobs, it's still not meeting the situation. And even if you work 10 jobs, if you could do it, it still won't work. You know why it won't work? Because God says, I'm not going to make it work. I'm not finished. And it says this. It says, you eat but do not have enough. No matter how much you eat, you're still hungry. No matter how much you eat, there's still not enough to fill up your belly. It says, you drink but you're not filled. You clothe yourself but you're not warm. And listen to this. And those of you who earn wages to put it in a bag with holds. So even though you're working harder, God says, you know what? I'm putting holds into your pockets, holds into your wallets, holds into your pocketbook. Listen, folks, there is no upside to stealing from God. First of all, you need to understand that the Bible says that the devil is a liar. And so why would you listen to him? why not be blessed the way God says you can be blessed rather than listening to the devil who is the father of lies? Now, and so it's interesting to note that that's the reason why I'm telling you right now. And if you're a tither, I need you to begin to raise your mentality and expectation, because the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. It's time for you to realize that God wants you to have more than enough. God wants you to live in abundance. It is the will of God that if you tithe, that you can come to God and say, Father, I'm a consistent tither. I'm a consistent giver. I need my body to be healed and delivered. I need my barns to be filled with plenty. I need to step on that job. And when they look at me, they have to respect me, because the Bible says those who give unto the kingdom of God, not only does God bless them with money, but he also blesses them with honor. They're going to have to respect you whether they like it or not. And so it's important. Let me just switch a little bit to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. This is another scripture that deals with tithing and it deals with giving. And we're going to read it in just a minute. But it's a very important scripture that God has placed for you. Because, you see, I was sharing with our supplicators here on yesterday morning and also on Thursday at 6 o'clock. This is before our 7 o'clock prayer time. We have people that come in at 6 o'clock and we just intercede. But check this out. There was a man who was an immigrant, but he was a tither. You know, and coming here as an immigrant, the salary was very low. You know, maybe he was making $100 or something per week at most, right? And but you know what? But he gave to the Lord. He was faithful to the Lord. He would give his 10% and plus his offering. And, you know, and he worked, you know, he had a very menial job, and he would work at this greenhouse, as it were. And he was working there for years. And when the owner decided to retire, instead of leaving the business to his children or leaving it to his wife or leaving it to whoever, he left it for this little poor immigrant man who was at the bottom of the totem pole. And this man went from zero to riches. It was a $1 million business. And so I want you to know that, see, when you're a tither, you come into alignment with where the blessings of God are being released to happen. God puts you in a position where he can do all things. He puts you in a position where he's going to make the crooked path straight. He puts you into a position where he'll cause men to pour into your bosom. In other words, he puts you in a position where you become a candidate for the greatest blessings that God has for your life. Because the blessings that God has, by the way, you cannot find them in a president. You cannot find them in your mayor. You cannot find them in your job supervisor or manager. It comes directly from God, so that when God does it, you can't be blessing the supervisor. You're going to bless God, because you know God has done it for you. And so I want you to know that this little man, because he was a tither, when the blessing was ready to come, guess who God gave it to? He bypassed the non-tithers and he went to the tither and he blessed the tither. You see, and I'm saying to you right now as you're here, you need to realize that God is ready to bless you. Get up every morning and be expecting the blessings of the Lord. I just need you to, your expectations to go greater. Because you know what God told his own disciples? If you can only believe, then these things are possible. So part of the situation is the doctrine of faith. You have to, every day you got to get up and say, I live in increase. I live in supernatural increase. I live in abundance and overflow. But you got to say it, because faith that does not speak is not faith. Now, for those of you, you have to come to prayer to get some of these teachings. Can't do this all on a Sunday. But that's what it says. The word of faith is nigh you or near you, even in your mouth. And so it becomes essential. And so in the scripture, look at what the scripture says here. And let's read it together. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions. What's the first word? Say honor. Say honor three times. Okay, look at your neighbor, says honor. Yeah, I got to lock this one in. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions, okay? And with the first fruits of all your increase. So you know what? People don't realize that not only do you tithe from your salary, but if God gives you some kind of, insurance thing or God gives you some kind of inheritance, you tithe from that too. You know, you receive your income tax or whatever it is, you tithe from that too. 10% is God's property. 10% belongs to God. And so if you have it in your possessions, you know, there's an interesting story about Achan in the Bible. Achan was one of the people in the camp of Israel that was traveling with them after God had, you know, taken them from the wilderness. They had just won the biggest battle in Jericho. They had won the battle in Jericho, and as a result, you know, they were flying high. Remember, they were all before that time they were in the wilderness. But when they went and they won the battle. In this particular city, God told them, don't take any of the gold, don't take any of the spoil, don't take anything. It belongs to me. And so, but Achan decided that he was going to steal it. But look what happened. So they went to fight this country called Ai. It was a little country. It was the weakest country of all the countries they would fight going forward. It was the one, they had no military strength. They had nothing. Joshua didn't send out, you know, a decent size because he said they're going to mop this. This is going to be a mop-up operation. But when they went there, they were defeated by little Ai. And so Joshua decided to go and say, listen, we're going to pray and seek the Lord. And he went on his face. And God told Joshua, get up from your face and stop praying and go into the community and find out who stole my tithes. But you know what? They were there was about 2 million families. And so, in other words, how were they going to do that? God says, I want you to do this until you find it. I don't care if it's 3 million. Go and find it. And so they had to go house to house because the reason they lost the battle is because they stole from God. I want you to know nothing good comes out of stealing from God. There are no blessings on the side and there's nothing. And the sin that stays there keeps your prayers from being answered. And so the Bible says they finally found this guy, Achan. And they found all the things. And what they did is they put it back where it belongs. And when they did that, they went on to fight Jericho. And they went on to fight the Amorites and the Amalekites. And every battle that they went to fight after that, they won the battle successfully. I want you to know that when you are tithing, you can expect to win every battle. I don't care if it's sickness. I don't care if it's emotional. I don't care what it is. God is going to help you to win the battle. Listen, when you tithe on to the Lord, I want you to know that God is going to keep you in perfect peace. You know, you're not going to have to, like some people are under oppression. Some people are under depression. But when you're a tither, God is going to keep you in perfect peace. I see, money doesn't satisfy and fame doesn't satisfy because we look at this wonderful actor, Robin Williams. You know what? He had everything. He had the fame and everything. But you know what? He ended up killing himself. Why? Because he didn't have the most important thing in his life. And the most important thing is having the Lord on the inside. And so it's important. So the Bible says here that we must honor the Lord with what? Our possessions and with the first fruit of all our increase. What's going to happen after we do that? So your barns will be filled with plenty. I want you to do this. Of course, you can't do what I'm going to do. This is the second barn. This is the third barn. This is the fourth barn. Here's the fifth barn. I ain't forget you now because you're not tithers. It's seventh barn. Eighth bar, ninth bar. See, the Bible says, and I want you to understand this, you see, at some point, you got to lock into the promises of God. What did God say about you? He says, your barns are going to be filled with plenty. So as tithers, you have to have the expectation, and you have to put God in remembrance of his word. Starting today, we should have no lack, no shortage, no poverty, no nothing, because we are tithers unto God. And so, the word honor, listen to this carefully, means to make God glorious. You got that one? The word honor means to make God glorious. The word honor means to give proper respect. It means to give proper respect. Listen to this. I'm going to correlate these two passages. Look at Psalms 26 and verse 8. And since they're using the KJV, I'm going to do it from the KJV, because the NKJV says, New King James Version just says glory. Instead of the word honor, it has glory in the new one. But it's the same thing in the Hebrew language. But listen to this. Let's read it together. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. See, a lot of people, I don't know, they need to read this, right? Okay. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. What? And the place where thine honor dwelleth. What's the correlation of these two passages? Honor the Lord with your possessions. The correlation of these two passages shows this. Where you honor God, he shows up and rests. Somebody's going to get this morning. Where you honor God, he shows up and he rests. Why do you think the 90% is blessed? Because when you honor God, he comes. You attract his presence, and he comes and he rests on the 90% that you have. So when the enemy tries to kill and destroy, he says, no, this one is blessed of the Lord. Are you hearing me today? Listen to me. And so where you show reverence to God, where you show respect to God, you attract his presence. There is a principle in the scripture. You attract whatever you respect. And so if you respect the anointing, you attract the anointing. You see, and where you honor God with the first, the what God has given to you, God's presence shows up and rests. What does he rest on? He rests on your children. He rests on your business plans. He rests on your future. He rests on your body. He rests on your mind. So that when the enemy tries to mess with you and destroy you, he can't do anything with you, because the hedge of God is all around you, and your property, God's property, which you are, he cannot destroy. He cannot bring down. He cannot tear apart, because you are his property. I want you to know that as a children of the living God, you don't have to worry. If you're a tither, you can go to bed every single day and know, you know what? Not only is God going to meet my needs, but he's going to be greater than that. He's going to meet my needs in such a way, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I could ask or ever think. And so it becomes important for us to know that whenever we honor God, we attract his presence. His presence comes and rests, and that's what the Bible says. If you go, don't go to it, but if you go back to Malachi chapter 3, I want you to realize that the Bible says that when we bring the tithes, God says, I will come and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. You know how many times I've done some very dumb things? But because I've been a tither all my life, not a part-time tither, and I tithe when I can. By the way, you know, God knows our hearts. So he knows he can't bless some of you that much, because he knows that at some point you'll figure out why you can't tithe. So he won't get, this is scriptural. He won't give it. Bible says, if you're faithful in small things, then I'm going to make you manager of greater things. It's a simple scripture, right? And so some people are going to be there, the same job forever, you know, retire that way, broke, busted, whatever it is. You know why? Because of the fact that they fail to believe God. It's a disgrace to God when you don't believe him and you do what the devil say. And so it becomes vitally important to know the presence of God is everything. And when you honor God with your tithes, the Bible says his presence comes. I don't know about you, but more, church, you got to help me with this. I don't know how some people can live without the presence of God. Listen, the presence of God over their children. I realize Sean is here today, and he's here because of the presence of God. Because of the presence of God that dwells with us, dwells my wife and our children and our house. Because we honor him, we attract the presence of God. And he comes there and he rests. And so even though, you know, not knowing, being ignorant, you know, my wife had the baby in the house, you know, we couldn't get out. And the umbilical cord was there. And I'm doing like what I think I saw at least on television, you know, that you have to wash the baby. So not realizing, and I just pulled the umbilical cord. And I took him to the sink, and I was just wiping his face like I saw on television, right? And did not realize what I did. And the EMS person says, you know what? This is nothing less than a miracle, because she should be dead and he should be dead. But I want you to know that when you tithe unto God, God shows up and rests and says, even though he's a fool, I'm going to bless this thing. And this thing is not going to destroy him. I can tell you stories about our children and son, because I want you to know that God means what he says and he says what he means. Listen, I'm too afraid to rob God. I'm too afraid to steal from God. And so that's why David said, you know when God told David, listen, David, you had a choice of some punishment. I can send pestilence your way to punish you. I can send disease. I can send different things. And one of the options, I can take my presence from you. You know what David said? God told David, God, take anything away from me. Do whatever you have to do in Psalms 51 and verse 11, but don't you take away your presence. He says, you can take away my concubines, I can live without them. You can take away my title, I can live without that. You can take away my palace, I can live without that. You can take away my fame, I can live without that, but I cannot live without your presence. Are you following me today? You need his presence to show up and rest. Because when your doctor cannot help you, and there's no more, you know what they say to you, we've done all that we possibly can. You see, you still have someone that you can look up to. You can look up onto the hills from whence cometh your help and say, even though the doctor says he's not going to be able to help me, and even though there's no medicine in the world that can do it, Lord, you are my healer. You are my deliverer. You are my conqueror. And I don't care what the enemy is seeking to do. My trust is in the Lord, in the living God, who promises me that no weapon that is formed against me is going to prosper. I'm talking to you, tithers. I'm trying to tell you, and I can tell you story after story. All I know is that when God is on, his presence is in your family, is in your life, the Bible says this, that he fights for you. He rebukes for you. He fills your barns for you. He does all kinds of things. And so God is saying, don't come into my house empty-handed. Don't come into my house without honoring me. Don't come here with an attitude like, hey, God, you need me. You need to know, you know, coming in with a bad attitude and jacked up and everything else. I want you to know that you need to come into the presence of God and say, God, because of your mercy, I'm alive. Because of your mercy, I'm breathing. Because of your mercy, I still can work a job. Because of your mercy, I'm still in my right mind. I'm not depressed. I'm not suicidal. I'm able to come to the presence of God and say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me where would I be? It's the goodness of the Lord that brings you to repentance. In closing, you know how that works, right? Over the lives of some believers, there is this thing over their forehead. Because if you're a tither, the presence of God comes and rest. When you honor him, his presence comes and rests. When you don't honor him, like Israel did in the Old Testament, Ichabod. You know what the word Ichabod means? Ichabod is written over your forehead. So the enemy knows, you know what? I can touch this one. I can touch this one. I can touch that one. But I can't touch this one. And I can't touch this one. Because where he sees Ichabod, he knows, you see, you don't have to help the devil, by the way. He goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You don't have to give him an even greater open door, because I guarantee you he'll take it. Because his objective for you is not to help you. It's not to make things better, but he's coming to kill, he's coming to steal, and he's coming to destroy. And so it is essential that we invite and love the presence of God. Okay, come, bring that with you. And Carol, come, you just follow. You know what? More than anything else, love the presence of God. If it means tithing, then love the presence of God. Tithe. Starting today. And number one, you know, before you do anything, repent. And says, God, I'm sorry that I did this. I'm sorry that I did this to you, God. I'm sorry that I stole from you. You know, let me say something to you. Just because you need food, it doesn't give you the right to go to Pathmark and steal it. Just because you need food, it doesn't give you the right to break in to Sister Jewel's home and rob her food. Robbing is not right just because you need something. And this is what we're doing with God. But the only thing about it is we don't realize the consequence. If God called it a crime against Israel, do you think he's calling it less of a crime against us? Jesus, in speaking to the Pharisees, he says, you tithe of mint and of this and of the other. But the one thing that you don't do is you don't carry justice. And he says, that you should do, but don't leave the other undone. That was Jesus' words on tithing. He said, you got to keep on tithing, but also be a person of justice. Now, okay, Carol. Okay, what happens to us non-tithers? Should I switch the non-tithers? Okay. All right, okay. Okay, these are the tithers over here, right? All right. Listen. See, many of us want presents. Take one. Put it over there. That's for you. That's your car right there. And, you know, we want, because God has presents. He does. He has presents. He has gifts. He has a window of heaven that's full of treasures. And so, take the next treasure. What is that? That's your house. Okay? All right, take. Now, here's another one. Take another one. What is that? Yeah, tell me. We just did it for four of them. Yeah. All right. Okay, what is this big? What should this one be? Huh? Okay, wealth, health, whatever. We'll make it both, right? So what it is what we want is we want God's presence, but we don't want his presence. And we don't realize that it doesn't work. Because only when his presence comes and rests, when his presence comes and dwells and rests, only then is everything that Pastor Ronnie has, his children, his family, he's this. Listen, the Bible says that we're going to be, that God is going to bless us, even though we're going to have trials. Listen, I put to you this way. I'd rather have trials with money than have trials without money. Since I'm going to have trials anyway, let me have the money to go along with it. There's one less thing I'll have to think about. You follow me? And so what we need is the presence of God. We need to honor him. And I'm saying to you, and if you're a young person in particular, can I say something to you? My mom taught me this. She taught me how to tithe. My mom taught me to tithe. And you know what? And I'm telling you, there's never been one day in my working history, whether I was working for Youth Corps or working for whoever it is, that I never tithed. You know why? Because she taught it to me. And so I never saw everything that I got as all mine. As a matter of fact, my mother was also, I don't know, she was just like us too. Not only did I have to give tithes, I had to give my offerings, but I had to take a little something and give to the family. Man, I'm making $30 a week. Give to the family. This is the way she taught us. You know, and half the time the money was just putting it aside for something to give it back to us anyway. But we didn't know that. But then, you know, the funny thing is I had friends of mine, and their mother and father took nothing from them. And I'm saying, you know, I said, this is ridiculous. Why are you taking from me? Okay, the tithe I understand. But helping the family? But you know what? It helped me because when I got older and I graduated from college and I started to make money, you know what? Besides what I gave my mother, I would always give things towards the family. I'd still buy grocery and so on. You know, and I want you to know that, and listen to me, I just want to build the expectation of the tithers. It's time for you to challenge God. What does the Bible say there? Prove me now. God is saying, you can test me here. August, it's time for your family. Marianne, it's time for your family. Clyde, it's time for your family. It's time for all of our families to begin to experience the abundance and the overflow, the barns that are supposed. Some of you have no accounts. You're supposed to have several accounts because, you know, you have so much that one bank doesn't have enough insurance to be able to handle it all. I'm trying to tell you that. And until you get to that expectation, this is what I'm saying to you. And I've been challenging our people at prayer. I said, you know what? It's time for us to believe Numbers 23:19. In fact, put that up. I didn't give it to you, but put that up. Numbers 23 and verse 19. And that's a scripture that this is our season, because I'm telling you right now, miracles of healing are coming to our church. What we see, what happened to Sister Jewel is only one. We're going to see that multiplied into 30s and 40s and hundreds. It's about to come just that way. And not only that, but also too, we're going to see the wealth. The Bible says it is he, that's Deuteronomy 28, 8:18, I think it is. It says, it is he who gives you what? Power to get wealth. Who gives it to you? He gives it to you. So that you might do what with it? Establish his kingdom. So after you give God what belongs to him, guess what happens to the other 90%? I'm going on a cruise. You follow me? I mean, then you can do anything you want to do. Now, so look at what it says here. Read it with me. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken it, and shall he not make it good? Okay, thank you. Let's give them a hand. There's a scripture in Isaiah 1:19. Listen to me carefully. And I want you to jot this down. Put it somewhere. Because I want you to know that God is a faithful God. That God is a faithful God. He's a faithful God. What is he? He's a faithful God. You young people that are sitting in this room here, listen to me. If you do what God says, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. God is going to bless it. So kind of whatever that business you're thinking about, you don't have to wonder if it's going to be blessed. You got to know it's going to be blessed. Are you kidding me? That's what the book of Psalms says. And whatsoever that man does shall prosper. Whatever it is you put your hands to. And that's why you ought to tell your children that. Don't be telling your children they're not going to make it and you are dunce and all that kind of stuff like that. First of all, if I was your kid, I'd say, you know what? Adios. Because I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. This is the one time I have the choice. Because it's not what man says about you, whether it be a parent or non-parent. It's what God says about you. He says, you're going to be blessed in the field. You're going to be blessed when you go out. You're going to be blessed when you come in. And everything that you do is going to be blessed. And so look at the scripture. It says, if you be willing, first one you got to be. You can't be obedient until you're willing. Because obedience does not follow. All right? So you have to be what? Willing and obedient. And if you're willing and obedient, what did God says? You shall eat the good of the land. Not, it could have said, you shall eat the good of heaven. I'm glad it didn't say that. Because I'm not ready to go to heaven right now. And so God wants me to eat what? The good of the land. I want, it's like the psalmist says in Psalms 27, I think verse 13 says, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Where? In the land of the living. I want you to know that God wants you to be the first. And not the last. I know. Just don't say it. Live it and believe it. God wants you to be above and not beneath. He wants you to be the head and not the tail. Listen, you could be the head and still be on a job. Because what makes you the head is the security of the goodness of God, and not promised goodness, but you know what? You have barns. You know, when you look at your account, you see that there's five accounts there, all with $100,000 or better. So when they give you the pink slip, you said, okay, take your pink slip, because I can create my own job. Are you following me? This is what the Bible says. God wants you to be blessed above measure so that you don't struggle. The will of God is that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. And by the way, the blessings of God just don't come with money. It comes with favor. It comes with healing. It comes with divine health. It comes with special connections. It comes with God's presence dwelling and resting upon your situation. It comes with God Himself working all things out for your good and for His glory. It comes with God saying, this one belongs to me, and no weapon formed against this one is going to prosper. I want you to know that if you are tither today, you ought to shout unto the Lord and know that God is going to work it all out. Your business will grow. Your employment will get better. Why? Because God is on your side. You need to put God. God said, trust me, prove me now, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. And it doesn't stop there. And pour you out a blessing that you won't have any room in which to contain it. Come on, somebody, give God a praise. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As heads are bowed, I really want everyone, eyes closed. Don't look at me. I want you to focus in on you and your life and your situation, because it's time to repent. You know, I wasn't supposed to do this message like I wasn't supposed to do one 2 weeks ago, but God has just kept prompting me and says, it's time for you to do this. Because I've been trying to take a break here for at least a couple of weeks before the fall comes in, and every time the Lord spoke to me and said, no, speak my message, speak my doctrine. And I said, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, then I'll do that. And the reason when God speaks, He speaks to His people. God has an obligation to speak to His people, those who He has paid the price for, those whom He has died for, those whom He shed His blood for, those who He sacrificed His life for. And today, God is saying, repent. The word repent means to acknowledge what you've done and to ask Him for forgiveness, because it's a crime. Not only is it a crime to God, but it's really a crime on yourself, because as you're standing there, your prayers are not going any further than the ceiling, because there is iniquity. There's a difference between transgression and iniquity. This is an iniquity. Can't go through that theological part of it, but God, you know, whatever it is, as long as you understand that it's sin, God is saying it's time to repent. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I don't want you to come up here, but I'm going to ask you just to put your hands up in a second and put it back down, and I'm going to pray for you, because this is not an exercise in futility. It's just that Jesus never called out anybody or never saved them without first calling them out and giving them an opportunity to acknowledge where they are. For those of you who are tithers, the best is yet to come, because I guarantee you that starting today, you are going to begin to hold God accountable. Like He says, He says, prove me now. Expect for me to do what I said I'm going to do. And for those who are not, you're going to join in. You're going to come into God's bandwagon. One thing about God, God does not hold our sins against us once we repent. He doesn't say, well, you asked him to forgive you, but I'm still going to hold against you. No, he doesn't. Whenever you ask God to forgive you, he cleans that slate. And just before God and your pastor, because I already know anyway, I'm saying, but if you have slipped up in tithing, you have literally stolen God's property and you need to repent. I just need you to just, and I'm about to pray for you. I just need you to put your hands up in the air and then put it right back down. Will you do that for me? Yes, yes. I see that. Yes, just put them back down. I don't want you to keep them. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, brother. God bless you. God bless you, brother, too. This is not an altar call. This is because I just want you to be transparent with God. And the altar is the place where we bring ourselves to God. It's where we lay our burdens before him. Any others? Real quick, right before I pray. God bless you. Just put it down. So soon as you just raise your hands and put it right down. But I want to make sure, God bless you. God bless you. I want you to know God is, you know, something is great. I'm proud of you because I want you to know that all you're doing is doing something for yourself and for your family. You're turning things around. See, when God speaks, the Bible says, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't be stubborn. And, you know, you can't mess with God. I mean, you know, things will happen to you that will just mess you up so bad that you wouldn't even know. You wouldn't even be alive to think about it or even reason it out. Don't do that. Let God rebuke the devourer for your sake. Any others quickly. There's probably another one or two. And I'm just waiting because I know how the enemy is. He's going to try. God bless you. God bless you. There's at least one other person as well that God has said, I'm just waiting on you. I'm patient enough. Because I want you to live. I want you to experience the greatness of God. Quickly, anybody else? You've just, God bless you, baby. Anybody else before I pray? God bless you. Whatever you get, I don't care what the increase is, make sure that you give God back his property. Whatever it is. Just write the check, put it on a credit card, whatever it is, and just do it and forget about it. I'm about to pray right now. It's a song that says, give and I'll give it back to you. Won't you give and I'll give it back to you? Just give and I'll give it back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Back in good measure, I'll give it back to you. I say it one more time. Say give and I'll give it back to you. Won't you give and I'll give it back to you? Won't you give and I'll give it back to you? Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Back in good measure, I'll give it back to you. Father, I thank you this morning for the hands all over this building, young and old alike. Lord, who just repented and says, God, no more. I want to do your will. I want to hear your voice. I want to experience your greatness. I repent of my sin. I declare that from this day forward, I will obey and I will serve and I will bless your kingdom for all that it has done for me. I thank you, God. I ask you, Lord, that you would lift the curse Lift the curse in the name of Jesus that hangs because of their obedience and their repentance today. In Jesus' name, I bless you. Come on, let's all give God a clap. All right, we do that? Say it again. Say, give, and I'll give it back to you. Say, give, and I'll give it back to you. Won't you give? I'll give it back to you. How? Say, press down. What else? Shaken together, running over. Back in good measure, I'll give it back.